sound all official.
Okay. And Andrea, would you, can you please share your screen so that we can all see the agenda as we initiate the meeting?
So we want the budget agenda. Well, I had it up and now it's gone, so please hold.
Okay.
Andrea, did you do all those quilts behind you?
Yes, with my mother-in-law.
Those are impressive.
Thank you. I really miss it. She's definitely a high risk, her and my father-in-law both, so there we go.
Excellent. All right.
Okay, great.
I'll call the meeting to order. I see that we have Mayor Sreeni that's been able to join us as well. Good morning, Mayor, and welcome.
I apologize for being late. I have tons of fires to put out, including the fact that Mill Creek is moving to yellow at 11 o'clock. So,
wow.
We understand completely. All right, so to be all professional and official-like, today's date is May 14th, 2020. I'm Sean Milne, Tooele County Commissioner, Chair of the Budget Committee for Wasatch Front Regional Council, and we are calling our meeting to order. So first things first, would you mind doing a voice roll call vote, Andrea? And well, because we're sharing screen too, we see fewer people. As you do so, please unmute yourself and say presence so that it can be recorded in the Grammable recording here, and we shall proceed.
Council Member Tina Cannon.
Here.
Mayor Jeff Silvestrini.
Here.
Commissioner Sean Milne.
Present.
Mayor Mike Caldwell.
Here.
Commissioner Jeff Scott.
I'm here.
Has Commissioner Bob Stevenson joined us? Not yet, I'll get him later. Council Member Mike Jensen. Okay, Andrew Gruber.
Here.
Wayne Bennion. I'm pretty sure Wayne's here. I think he's just muted. Lovett Baumgartner.
Present.
Ned Hacker.
Here.
And I'm Andrea Pearson. Okay, thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate that quick manner. The next item is an action item. It is the approval of our minutes from March 12th. Before we were required to do this news sort of style, we were all able to be present. Has everyone had the opportunity to review those minutes? The chair would entertain any omissions, deletions, corrections otherwise, or a motion to approve.
Motion to approve, Jeff Silvestrini.
Second, Mike Caldwell.
Thank you, and thank you for identifying yourself with those motions. And second, all those in, well, any further discussion, technically? Hearing none, all those in favor, aye.
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 And any opposed or abstain, please state your name if so. Okay, it shall be noted that that was unanimous. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, Andrew. It wasn't you, okay, sorry. All right, then moving ahead, the next item on our agenda is an opportunity for public comment. Anyone who would like to offer a comment for our consideration, please feel free to do so now. Not hearing anyone come forward, we will have that stand as closed and note that no one came forward. The next item is also an action item on our agenda, the recommended approval of the fiscal year 21 goals, budget, and unified planning work program, or the UPWP. Andrew, would you like to review that with us real quick, or someone from your staff?
I'd be happy to, with any input from the other members of the team. And let me just say that I've recognized that there's a lot going on right now. And so I'm going to attempt to be succinct on this. But as always, I'm very happy. All of us are very happy to answer any questions or take any comments that any of you have. Andrea, will you please scan down to the beginning of the budget memo? The very short story here is that we're not recommending any changes to the budget from what was considered in March. But we are very carefully watching and modifying our expenditures given the uncertainties created by COVID. That's the short summary. What you will remember is that in March, the budget committee met. We presented to you a draft goals for the agency for fiscal year 21, the budget for 21, and then the unified planning work program. We discussed them, we reviewed them, we made some modifications following our discussions. They then went to the council. The council reviewed them and voted to authorize their release to the public. They were put out to for public comment. They were also sent directly to the members of all of the COGs in the region. We did not receive any comments on any of those materials. We're now bringing them back to you as the budget committee for review and discussion again, with a recommendation that you recommend to the Wasatch Front Regional Council, which meets 2 weeks from today, for approval of the materials as submitted for FY21. So that's our recommendation. Now, I want to note, and if you, Andrew, if you scan down just a little more so everybody can see in front of them this COVID-19 section of the memo. Of course, there is great uncertainty in the economy right now due to COVID-19 and the associated economic impacts. For WFRC, the largest uncertainty in funding is tied to our largest source of revenues. That's the federal government through USDOT. In the range of 80% of our revenue comes from the federal government. And as of right now, there have not been any direct impacts to the federal funds that come to WFRC for our budget, nor to the funds that come through WFRC that we pass on to our members through the STP, CMAQ, and TAP programs. Those aren't part of our budget, but generally speaking, we have not yet seen any direct impacts. But as you all know, there is already uncertainty. Before COVID, there was uncertainty about federal funding because the FAST Act, the federal authorizing legislation, expires September 30 of 2020. That uncertainty is now coupled or exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic and the effect, the economic impacts as revenues at all levels. You all are starting to experience this in your sales tax and your gas tax. At the federal level, same thing on gas taxes. Revenues are hit all over the board. So we don't know what impact this is going to have on Congress's ability to timely reauthorize the federal transportation program. And then what impact that may have on WFRC and the funds that we get through the federal government. Will there be a delay in authorization, some interruption? Will there be cuts in the funding? On the other hand, will there be increases in the funding as economic stimulus coming through? We just don't know. But given that uncertainty, we think it's very important that we take a very cautious approach on our budget and our expenditures. So having said that, the budget that we have before you today is, and again, the same that was presented in March, it acts as a limit on our expenditures, but it does not require that we spend all of the money that is budgeted for. And we are already taking steps to hold our expenditures down as much as we can. And so that is a few things, delaying or canceling new consultant contracts or other contracts and making sure we're turning to our staff as much as possible to complete work to be done. We've freezing any new hires at this point. Potentially delaying or canceling any COLA or merit increases. And I'm what we're watching what you all do at cities and counties and the state in that regard, whether what you're going to do on salaries adjustments. But I would say, at least considering we haven't made a final decision yet and would welcome your input about COLA and merit increases, limiting travel and training costs, and just generally reducing or deferring expenditures as much as we can. Our focus is to continue to provide excellent service to our communities and to our region and to maintain stability for our existing staff. So we're monitoring the situation. We're making adjustments where we can. But again, we believe that, particularly given the uncertainties right now, the right thing to do is to move forward with the budget as adopted, but then hold expenditures down and then continue to work closely with the budget committee to track and update you. So that is really the sort of summary of our recommendations. All of the materials on the budget and the goals and everything is in what we sent to you, but I will stop there and welcome feedback or input or questions on that proposed approach, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Andrew. I really appreciate that. And I know I speak for all of us when I say how much I appreciate you and your staff. Like all of us having to amend our workflow, you guys have done a yeoman's job and really appreciate it. I don't have any questions, just really grateful for the work that you guys have given, continue to do so, and the thoughtfulness to this approach that you just referenced regarding the budget process. Are there any comments or thoughts wanting to be expressed by other members of the committee?
I'll just chime in real quick. Andrew, you asked the question about COLAs and what's happening with compensation and everything moving forward. We polled 43 cities along the Wasatch Front. We just had to submit our budget just over a week ago to the city council, and with all the ambiguity in it, we went as conservatively as possible. We are not programming any COLAs or merit increases. Those will be held steady right now. We are picking up 8% in our health insurance premiums as those went up. We do think we can cover that. One of the things we did have a little bit of one-time money. So instead of giving raises across the board or COLAs or merits, we gave a bunch of extra vacation days, I think 5 total to every employee. We think it's important that they take care of their mental health right now. This has been a crazy time for everybody, and they all really appreciated that. We had a lot of people come after and say, thank you for thinking of us. We know that there was no money for ongoing funds, and we expect almost every one of those 43 cities along the Wasatch Front had reduced estimates, if nothing at all. But we're all trying to not riff anybody, and people appreciated that kind of stability. So taking the most conservative possible approach out of the gates, and then seeing where we are in, you know, 5 months, 6 months, when we have better data, everybody agreed with that.
I think that's where we all are. So. Accurate. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Yeah, since that heavy topic came up, I will say that Tooele County has similarly been, I mean, counties obviously work on a different budget year than cities. So cities are in a much different position, I think, for immediacy's sake. But here at our county, we have a soft hiring freeze in place. We're not talking about any raises. I'm still an advocate for a cost of living adjustment. I haven't risked my neck politically to maximize our ability to save what we are allowed by the state's maximum to not treat employees well. And that probably has the smell of a backhanded statement for some. That's not what that's intended to be. But we are similarly trying to balance, right, between the huge drop in certain sales tax, and then the overall sales tax actually seems to be up for us. You know, all that hoarding buying at the last minute, but that doesn't mean that it'll sustain for the next quarter. So I appreciate what both mayors have said and the uniqueness of the municipal budget cycle. Jeff or Tina, anything to add from either of you?
It's something that we're talking about. We've been on a step and grade system in the county for years and years and years, and we're trying to get that to more of a merit-based pay, similar to what our sheriff's department has, and it just hasn't functioned real well, to be honest. And that's kind of the direction I would like to go, so that, you know, it's more based on what you do and not how long you've been there. But we're seriously considering doing away with at least the COLA and potentially any merit-based increase for this year. Depending on, you know, where we're at on unemployment, it's kind of hard to see the folks that are serving you in government get a cost of living increase when unemployment's went from 3% in our county to 14. So still up in the air, but we're considering it.
That's where we haven't made any firm decisions on what we're doing. We were same as Jeff. We were going from our step system to a merit-based system, and all of that is on hold at this point as we try to assess a change in revenue.
Mr. Chair, I might, hearing all of that feedback, I might, I'm inclined to say that we would likely want to take the most conservative approach as well. If it's okay with you, this doesn't impact the budget and it's not an action for the budget committee, but if I can circle back with Lovett and Wayne and Ned, we can report back to you. My inclination would be to defer any compensation adjustments similar to what you all are talking about, and then perhaps explore, as Mayor Caldwell said, the concept of some additional vacation days or something. But yeah, if it's okay with you, we would take that under advisement and then sort of report back to you intended path forward.
That's great with me, Andrew. And one of the things I think we all should be thinking about as we move forward, there's going to require more flexibility in this year's budget cycle as we get more data. So, I mean, we can go in and make amendments and adjustments as we go and everything else, but I think this group ought to have that in the back of their mind that as we get more information, we may need to address this more often than we would throughout the course of the year to make those adjustments as we move forward.
Indeed. Mr. Chair, it looks like Michael Jensen, Councilmember Jensen may have joined us.
Yeah, I apologize. I had another Zoom meeting that I got stuck on.
Well, thanks for joining.
Well, welcome. We appreciate
it. What's a Zoom meeting?
Yeah, Zoom meetings all over the place.
Okay.
Two more quick comments to add, and then I would be done on this item, if that's okay with you. Okay.
Yep, please proceed.
Okay, so two more things. Again, don't impact the budget right now, but to make you aware, one is that we on the staff are engaging in an effort to assess WFRC's long range budget situation. Those of you that have been with us for some time will remember several years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, we did a thorough analysis of our long-term budget projections. The budget committee was very involved in that. That led to some modified approaches on our expenditures and also on our revenues. We're starting to engage in that kind of long-term assessment again. In part, it ties to the COVID situation, and in part, it's just good business practice to look out multiple years. So I wanted to bring that to your attention. We're looking at things like, what is our long-term strategy on consulting contracts? What's our long-term approach on salaries and expenditures? What's our long-term approach on the use of a portion of the federal surface transportation program funds that come into WFRC's budget for our operations, all of those things. And that would be something that we'd like to have an ongoing conversation over the course of the next 6 to 9 months or so, as we're evaluating the COVID-19 recession impacts and looking at our long-range budget. And then, as Mayor Caldwell, to your point, if that means we need to make modifications to our current budget and then think ahead to our future budgets, they could be informed by that process. So that's supplemental point number one. Supplemental point number two, which sort of relates to that, you all know that we are currently in our office. Well, we're not in our office now, but the office that we are leasing is on a 10-year lease with very good terms. We're about a year and a half into that lease. And we think that the current circumstances mean that we may be in a position to do a lease renegotiation where we potentially could extend the term of our lease beyond 10 years. So to 15 or to 20 years, potentially, to give us more long-term certainty in lease costs and potentially bring down our monthly lease expenditures. We don't know if that's the case, but that may be the case, and potentially make a purchase of the space that we are in right now by subdividing out the portion of our office that we are in, and then taking some of the proceeds from the sale of our old office building and using them to pay some of the cost for a purchase. Now, we are just starting to evaluate this. We have not initiated yet a conversation with our landlord, that's the Cicero Group, but I wanted to let you know that we are looking into this possibility, and would love to use, again, the budget committee as a sounding board and guide for this as we go forward, just in investigating it. So those 2 points, long-range projections and our lease, are the only supplemental things I wanted to add. With that, Mr. Chair, I don't have anything else to add on this action item.
Okay. Well, the chair would entertain any commentary or observations, questions from the committee.
Getting to what Andrew just talked about, Andrew, I like the idea. My only thing is maybe we talk about timing, simply because I personally believe after COVID, you're going to see a new norm on where people work. And if I'm in the commercial real estate business, I'm probably scared to death right now, because I think coming out of this, people aren't going to use the same amount of commercial space as they did before. So I agree with you. The question I would have is timing on when are we really going to see that that's going to happen, and where commercial folks are going to have to look at their inventory, look at their rates, and really feel the pinch. So I don't want to say we're going to take advantage of people, but in a way, they are going to have to reassess where they're at. And I want to take advantage of that from WFRC's perspective. But I guess for me, it's when is the right time to do it?
I'll just say, I agree. It's a great point. And that's, we value your shared thinking on when and what the possibilities are. It may be of benefit to our landlord, as a commercial real estate owner, to have the certainty of an extension and in exchange for a reduction in the lease rate. So there may be a way to do this, and I'm not sure when, but it's worth at least starting to look into.
So Andrew, this is Jeff. I think it, you know, the devil's in the details in terms of what kind of deal you can get. I don't know that it's too early to begin exploring those kinds of ideas, because I think every commercial landlord and the people financing those types of projects are already aware of the fact that the market is in flux because of those things. So I think it's worth pursuing a discussion. And the other, I guess it's also worth looking at, you know, do you have what you need? Do you need as much as you have, given the fact that our organization may also change how it functions in the future? I think we're all looking at that. But ultimately, if there's a talk of kind of minimizing the space and all that, that is in the long-term interest of the organization to be an owner rather than a renter, I think, you know, long-term. So a lot of it just depends on what you can negotiate. And I would encourage you to see what is out there. And if we like it, fine. If we don't like it, we don't have to do it.
Okay.
I just want to say, I've always been where I think we should own versus lease personally when it comes to government buildings, because I just think people take advantage of us. So Jeff, I agree. If we can own, I would prefer to own over lease myself.
I absolutely concur with that sentiment. And while I appreciate what the good councilman is suggesting, that we be sensitive of not feeling like we're preying upon somebody, the robber barons became who they were because they were smart about their liquidity during the Depression. And so, not to get too waxing philosophical, if that's a good thing for us, Andrew, I would be supportive. I would just also try to be mindful, as I know you and staff already are, I just feel obligated to say it, in a grammable document like this probably will become, that it would be good to think about what the size and breadth of your entity would look like in 20 or 30 years as well, so as not to just purchase enough for now. And given the all likelihood you're going to continue to be able to lease out unused spaces for your entity, and I'm pretty sure that we would all probably concur with such a perspective if we're going to have that. Any other comments from committee members?
I would just like to point out that, Sean, I'm sorry, the robber barons, really, we're all entities that our revenue is heavily based on commercial leasing. So just for the record, I'm hoping that they do survive, that it is that we do go back to some semblance of normal, because it will impact our revenue streams. If you look at taxation as a revenue stream the way you would for a business, this is has long-term impacts, not just for commercial real estate, but for those entities who tax commercial real estate at a higher rate than private or residential real estate. So this has long-term impacts on not just their market, but on our market as well.
Very valid point, and I will apologize for making an offensive statement in an attempt to bring some humor. I apologize. That being said, I just recognize that it was an opportunity for us as WFRC to own some real estate again without buying at the top of the market.
But I don't know. Andrew Carnegie Gruber has a nice ring to it.
But thank you for asking me to be humble about that, Tina. I do appreciate that. Was that Mike Mayor Caldwell?
It was Jeff Scott.
Okay.
Hey. I like the idea if there is an opportunity, if they are going to basically condominiumize the other space to look into it. I think the worst thing that happens is we find that it's not in WFRC's best interest. But 10, 15, 20, 25 years from now, I think that space is only going to be more valuable right downtown. So I don't think it hurts to look.
Thank you. Andrew, I feel like you've got some pretty good overtones for direction there. You feel comfortable?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Well, this is an action item, correct? So, Chair would entertain a motion. Not all at once.
Chair, I would recommend approval of fiscal year 21 goals, budget, and unified planning work program. Mayor Caldwell.
Second.
There was a motion by Mayor Caldwell. The second was by whom?
Michael.
Okay, Councilman. Sorry, there was some talking over the top there. I think we've got the motion and the second. Any further comments?
I would just note as a reminder that this functions as a recommendation to the full Wasatch Front Regional Council to approve on their meeting in 2 weeks.
Copy that. Thank you for the clarification. It's important. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposition or abstention, please note which in your name. Okay, it shall stand as unanimous to approve a favorable recommendation. Next item. Sorry, I took for granted when I knew you were going to do share screen, Andrea, that I didn't need to have a printed copy in front of me. What's the next item? I think it's the executive director's update.
That's right, it is. And Andrea, can you just go back to the agenda on the screen, please? So, Commissioner, if I can, I've got just a few quick updates here. One, I already mentioned the council agenda. And in fact, if I could, if you can just, I would ask Andrea to just bring the draft council agenda for the meeting in 2 weeks up on the screen. I'll give you a quick peek at it, make sure you all are comfortable. Of course, I will need to circle back separately with Commissioner Stevenson as the chair of the council, but just so you can see that. in a moment. So you see here, it's a pretty routine agenda. It is our aspiration to keep the meeting at about an hour, as we've been doing. We would have a discussion about the impacts from COVID-19 on transportation, community development, and air quality. A fascinating topic now as we go forward. And then that would be coming out of the Regional Growth Committee. Then from Transcom, with Commissioner Scott as the chair of Transcom, we'd be recommending action to approve this year's STP, CMAQ, and TAP projects that have gone through a review process already. And then, as we noted, the action on the budget. So that's the council agenda look ahead. Welcome any comments if anybody has them. And Mayor Silvestrini, as vice chair of the council, I will circle back with you and Commissioner Stevenson as chair, just to get actual approval on this agenda and to before we go ahead and we post it. Okay. Seems like there's no comments on that. I'll just briefly note that, and I might look to Mayor Silvestrini to help on this for a moment. We have been working, we WFRC have been working at the federal level on responses to the COVID situation. I mean, and you all know, of course, that and are working on this as well directly as cities and counties, the League and UAC are working on this. We have been working on the transportation angle and promoting investment in transportation infrastructure for economic recovery. And Commissioner Stevenson and Mayor Silvestrini have been directly involved and terrific in that. Mayor, do you want to just give a little report on what we've been doing there, or would you want me to do that?
I'm happy doing that, Andrew. So, you know, we've talked with five of the six members of our congressional delegation, and we'll be talking with Senator Lee's office this morning, I guess, in about a half an hour or so. Our message really has been that infrastructure is a great stimulus, and it's also, we need to we've been hoping for some kind of a stimulus package out of the administration and Congress, and this would be a good time to do it because it functions as a stimulus, but we also need to do it to maintain our competitiveness. We've been encouraging our delegation to not overlook local governments when they fund such a stimulus for transportation. And we have recommended that when they determine the mechanism for that, if they do, that they use, you know, regional planning organizations like WFRC, because we already have plans and projects that have been vetted regionally, and you know the projects have merit and are accepted in the broad communities that these organizations function, so that we're not just doling out pork, we're accomplishing a positive good. So the other message we've had is to support the planning function of metropolitan planning organizations, and talk about the merit of that. We have encouraged them to reauthorize the FAST Act, which is the surface transportation program and the block grant aspect of that, because it's important to have a long range, source of funds and ability to plan with like that on a long range basis. And then we've also asked them to tweak some programs like the congestion air quality mitigation program, which focuses on carbon monoxide and uses kind of outdated population metrics to fund the program, which hurts Utah. So all those things we've been talking to them about, and it's been kind of a fun tag team to be with Commissioner Stevenson and Andrew and Lanise, and our lobbyists in DC as well have been participating.
Thank you very much, Mayor, for that great succinct summary and also the work that you've been doing on this. For Commissioner Milne and Councilmember Cannon, you know that the funding that comes for some of these programs for surface transportation program, STP, for example, for Morgan and Tooele counties, those funds flow through UDOT, and for the Wasatch Front area that we cover, it flows through us. We are recommending additional transportation investment in a way that would be of benefit to our entire area and to the entire state. So we'll keep working on those federal activities. You know, at the state level, of course, you all are paying close attention to this. I'm sure the Executive Appropriations Committee of the legislature met yesterday, and you know they are asking state agencies to come up with packages of budget reductions of 2.5%, 5%, and 10% reductions below the base budget for FY21. So meaning any new appropriations that were adopted in last year's legislative session for FY21 are presumed gone, and then further cuts below that. Now that is not final, and the appropriations subcommittees are going to be meeting over the next few weeks, mainly in the last week of May, and then making recommendations back to the Executive Appropriations Committee. And then there would be anticipated a special session or more, several in June, to take actions on potential budget modifications. For purposes of WFRC and its related activities, that mainly applies to the UDOT budget. The expectation at this point is that the legislature, legislative leadership at least, is not interested in cutting the capital program that UDOT has going. And in fact, what they're talking about doing is pulling some money out of the TIF, that's UDOT's main construction line item, using that for general government purposes, and then backfilling that with additional state bonding to keep the state capital program going as good for economic activity. Now, how that relates to local funding, something that several of us have talked about is that we are starting to see declines in your gas tax, your motor fuel tax, B&C revenues. And so we've been engaging in a conversation with the League and with UAC, also with Commissioner Stevenson and Mayor Silvestrini as our chair and vice chair, about working with the state on the possibility that the state would provide some backfill revenue for your lost B&C revenues so that you can keep your maintenance and construction projects going. So that will be an item of dialogue as we go forward. I offer all that up just by way of update, Mr. Chair, and would welcome any questions or any other comments that anybody has, but that otherwise concludes my executive director's report with just the brief question. I'm gonna look around to Lovett, Wayne, and Ned to see if there's anything that you think I missed here that needs to be brought up with the budget committee. I'm seeing heads shaking no. Okay, thank you. Mr. Chair, back to you.
Okay, thank you, I appreciate it. The next item on our agenda is other business, and then it will be a reminder of our next meeting date in August. Is it August 13th, Andrea? She has frozen from what I can see, so I don't know if that...
It's a tentative meeting, but yes, okay. August 13th.
Okay, so there we've given our plug for that. So this next item before adjournment is other business. Any other items for staff to either bring up for our consideration and thoughtfulness about, or as individual committee members?
I just wanted to make one quick comment. I just wanted to tell Lovett how much we appreciate her for sticking around in this time of craziness. And after we did the search for somebody that would be very difficult to fill her shoes anyway, but I appreciate her sticking around with everything that's going on.
Thank you. Glad to do it. I appreciate the job, guys.
Yeah, amen. I will second that. And I also note, while we're talking about staff, happy birthday to Andrea. Today is Andrea's birthday.
Of all the time, Andrea. Yeah, for all the times for us to do a modern version of the Motab choir here and sing happy birthday in unison through Zoom.
No. This is being recorded. No.
Okay.
All the more reason to do it.
All right. Well, happy birthday, Andrea, and love it. A third for me as well, and I'm sure everyone. Thank you all. Really appreciate you.
Thank you, Andrew. See you at 11:30.
All right.
Motion to adjourn.
Chair's privilege. I just want to thank all my committee members. I know it's a really rough time, and you're probably not hearing it too much from locals. But we all, you know, what I really love about this job is that I've met some wonderful people. And I learn a lot from every single one of you. Thankfully for everybody on this call, I'm learning about things that I can do to improve myself. There are some folks that I meet on how not to do things or to remind me about some of my more negative qualities. And so I just really appreciate all of you, and I want to just say thank you. It has been locally in Tooele County, I will say it like this, but I do mean it much more broadly as I'm talking to this group. It's been heartwarming and endearing to see how many people have really come together. Now, many of us have our differences about the right approach at times like these or this specific situation. And that may even exist among all of us that are on the call. But overwhelmingly, I've seen a lot of camaraderie, teamwork, and mentorship from folks, and I just want to say thank you. Jeff, Mayor Silvestrini, we understand because everyone else is also being faced with what the repercussions of the governor's presser is going to mean for us today. And I'm sure that there will be some boundary counties and municipalities up against others who may not opt to go with the general consensus, and that will provide for some challenging conversations. But overall, I've been really proud, and WFRC as a convener for some of us that have our own silos to pay attention to has done a really excellent job. So with that, as uncomfortable as I am with warm, fuzzy statements, and that's about as best as you're gonna get from me today, I just wanna say thank you to all of you. So now the chair would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of adjournment, aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It shall stand as is. Thank you, one and all. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Happy and healthy. Thank you very much, everybody.